football, and the Tigers roar loudest here.
Klubnik takes a shotgun snap, back to throw, going to throw it leak, down long, there's Wesco, catches it at the 40, off the race, and he goes, touchdown! Wesco from 76!
This is Cade Klubnik, and you are listening to 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
We welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Height continues right here on The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you want to check in. Let's talk a little Lamar Jackson injury. We'll shift gears to some more NFL stuff, and then we'll put the NFL behind us for the day and shift gears to conference championship game preview mode. So we do have an update for the injury status about Lamar. And for what it's worth, Lamar has gone three straight games and not throwing a passing touchdown for the first time in his career. I think that is worth noting. He doesn't necessarily look the same, and this was before this most recent injury, whatever, debacle. Also, Derrick Henry is not really the same. I'm going to whisper when I say that. I don't want to like put bad juju out there before this weekend, but I gave the stats a couple weeks ago about the amount of times that Derrick Henry has been able to shed a tackle, and I don't know, man. I'm worried about the Ravens, if you want me to be honest with you. I don't know how good the Steelers are, but I'm worried about the Ravens. Lamar did not practice due to this ankle injury on Thursday, but he has also come out personally and proclaimed this a must-win game for Baltimore. I would assume he's going to play, but with his track record against the Steelers, with his inability to be able to be a productive passer against the Steelers, and with this injury stuff, I'm not saying I'm leaning towards the Steelers, but I do think that this is just going to be an ugly game. Like, a turnover could dictate who wins this game. A defensive or a special team score could dictate who wins this game. And I've watched enough of these Steelers-Ravens games at this point to where I'm never going to count the Steelers out against Lamar Jackson. I think they do a really good job game planning and scheming against this team. And I do think there's some sort of mental blockade that exists for Baltimore when they have to face Pittsburgh. So I think Pittsburgh's got a puncher's chance at it into this weekend. And again, Tomlin with his back against the wall is a guy that I don't like to go against. You got the Dolphins next week for a cushy landing to potentially get another win in the bank. And then the Lions, the Browns, and the Ravens again down the stretch. It's going to be interesting to see how things transpire in Pittsburgh, John. But I actually think your boys have got a pretty decent chance this weekend with all the context around Baltimore right now.
You know, you lay that out. I don't hate a lot of what you just laid out there. The problem is the Steelers' defense is a very good get-right spot for a bad Ravens offense at home. I like the Steelers plus a 5.5. I just don't know if I like them outright. I agree with you. It's going to be gross. It's going to be a closer game. You know, the line right now is at like 42.5. I would lean the under on that one. Like, I don't think there's going to be a lot of points scored here.
Like a 2017 vibe.
Yeah. Like, it's like real Big Ten West football.
Yeah, I like that.
You know, there'll be more points scored, I think, in the Big Ten championship game than in this game.
I agree with that.
So I think it's just going to be a little low scoring. You know, Texter 9383 gets in another Steelers fan here. I think Baltimore broke through that metal block last year. This is the first time they've played since Baltimore bounced them in the playoffs. That's an interesting thing to factor into this.
That's
game
a good point.
Is they have not played in almost a year. Like, it's kind of weird that we have the two games with these two teams not even starting until December 7th. It seems a little bit late in the calendar. I would like to have had one of these games taking place before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that is for sure. 654-ROAR if you want to check in. Texter says Bengals have all the tiebreakers. The division's going to end 8-8, 9-8, and the Bengals are going to make the playoffs. Bengals got to win this weekend for that to happen, but I'm not ruling that out yet, and I'm going to let the delusional pipe dream live on for Burrow because that schedule down the stretch is a joke. They play nobody down the stretch after this Bills game. So, yeah, I do think that there's a good chance that the Bengals could make things interesting, but it goes without saying that they have to go on the road to Buffalo and win this weekend as a 6-point underdog, and that is a lot easier said than done. The game that I think is going to have everybody's attention nationwide, waiting all day for Sunday night, the Texans have received a massive uptick in playoff chances and really just momentum as of late. They're up off the mat, and they looked dead in the water at one point this season, right? They were a couple games below 500. Stroud goes down with an injury. They're like, okay, they just need to tank it for the top five pick. Nope. Davis Mills saves their season. Stroud comes back in. He takes the reins back over and wins a big-time game last week. And now all of a sudden, the Chiefs are the one with their season on the line at Arrowhead at 6-6. What's going on in this league this year, man?
I don't know, but I'm here for it. Chiefs have to win this game if they want to make the postseason.
Yeah.
Because they're running out of opportunities. They're running out of chances. I mean, it helps that the Titans and the Raiders remain on the schedule, but they do have to square off against the Denver Broncos on Christmas Day. That'll be a big one for them. I still think, though, it's Sunday night, it's prime time, and it's at home. I like the Chiefs here in this spot. They're 5-1 at home on the year. They're taking all the losses on the road. This being a Kansas City, yeah, give me the Chiefs. I think they win this one by, I think they could even win this one up to like 10 points.
Reed and Mahomes on prime time at home. Yeah.
And Mahomes already has over 3,200 passing yards this year. We haven't talked about him at all.
He's been really good.
And it's December 5th, and he's already over 3,000 yards.
Yeah.
With barely, I mean, who's the best receiving option he has? A 39-year-old Travis Kelce?
Probably. Yeah.
Who's still playing good football. I'm not trying to disparage Travis Kelce here. What I'm saying is this is not the Tyreek Hill or when they had Nuke or Sammy or, you know, all the different wide receivers they've had over the years. I mean, like, I think Rashee Rice is a decent player, but, like, I just...
And he missed half the year.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, like, they don't have anybody that you feel great about on the outside. At least, I don't feel great about on the outside.
Yeah.
I mean, Hollywood Brown... You have a lot of speed. They're fast. I'll give them that, but, like, there's no real crisp route running that's happening with this wide receiver core, in my opinion.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. It's going to be intriguing to see how things transpire for this Chiefs team down the stretch. I just operate in the camp, don't count the Chiefs out, and I'll bet on that team until I see otherwise. That's just, they've earned that reputation. They've earned that equity with me. They've earned that trust with me. Mahomes, Reed, primetime, must-win game. He's coming out with the messaging throughout the course of this week that every game's like a playoff game the rest of the way. Yeah, sign me up 110 times out of 110 to go and back the Kansas City Chiefs in that spot. And then on Monday Night Football... Eagles and Chargers, 2-8-4 teams out in SoFi Stadium in Inglewood. You know what? I'm going to pick the Eagles to win this game because all the momentum is in the toilet right now, and it feels like everybody's down on this team, myself included. I feel like there is a pendulum. The Eagles are not as bad as they have played the last 4 weeks. You know who the worst passing offense in the NFL has been outside of the Tennessee Titans throughout the month of November?
Based on the way you're framing this, I'm going to go with the Eagles.
Yeah, it was the Eagles. The Eagles' passing offense has been horrible. Jalen's been bad. Kevin Petullo's getting eggs thrown at his house. I don't really even think it's Kevin Petullo's fault. I think this wraps back to the head ball coach and Nick Sirianni. I've kind of given my breakdown of what I think the issues are for the Philadelphia Eagles thus far. And again, this wraps back to something that's been prevalent since I've been in middle school. The Eagles can't win without Lane Johnson. The record with and without Lane Johnson for this team in my lifetime and his career is legitimately dumbfounding and jarring. Like, Carson Wentz essentially is out of a job to this day, in my opinion, because Lane Johnson suffered a season-ending injury, and they couldn't keep him upright. So, it's going to be interesting.
No, you're right. Like, the Lane Johnson thing is a very real key. I think that's why you were able to win the Super Bowl a couple years ago, is you were able to get him healthy and back into the fold. No, Lane Johnson is the most important player of that offensive line.
I agree.
Which, very few football teams at any level, are you going to say the most impactful player on an offense is the right tackle? I mean, no disrespect to Landon Walker, our Wednesday guest, a former right tackle here at Clemson, but like, those offenses weren't built around Landon. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
It's not a position group that you really build an offense around, but in Philadelphia, yeah, absolutely. If you do not have him, yeah, there's no, even if you do backdoor your way into the postseason, you're not winning anything of significance.
So Lane Johnson got into the league over a decade ago. The Eagles have played 40 games without Lane Johnson. In those 40 games, they are 15-25. In those 40 games, 37.5 win percentage. With Lane Johnson, the Eagles are 110-57-1 for a win percentage of almost 67%. Like, seriously, you're talking about a 30% win difference for when Lane Johnson plays for this team and when Lane Johnson does not play for this team. I do think the Eagles find a way to overcome the odds and get it done this weekend as a marginal favorite on the road. The Eagles play really well in California, whether it's the Niners, whether it's the Rams, whether it's the Chargers. That's a real thing, I promise. The Eagles traditionally play very well against all these California teams, and I don't think that this team is as bad as they've played. Maybe I'm trying to wish cast here and just be a little bit more positive, because the month of November was a miserable experience watching this team not be able to score score, not be able to throw the ball. This was the month of November for the Eagles, John. 10 points, 16 points, 21 points, 15 points. Ugh. Felt like I was watching the Tennessee Titans out there on offense. So I'm hoping for a better performance this upcoming weekend. And Texter says, I'm in a winning or in situation in fantasy and currently have Lamar starting, but Herbert on the bench and Stroud available on waivers. Help Cam and Anderson. Ooh, that's a tough one. To be honest with you, bro, I would go Herbert. I would go Herbert. I think that that game's going to be ugly between Pittsburgh and Baltimore. Herbert's in a dome, and while I do think the Eagles are going to win, I think that game script could benefit you. He is hurt. He has his hand hurt, but it's his non-throwing hand, right?
Yeah, I think I saw that. Yeah, it's in a cast or it's in a brace or something like that. I don't know. I'd have a tough time backing a Jim Harbaugh quarterback for my fantasy team with a must-win situation.
That is true, yeah.
In a game against the Eagles where both teams are going to stare each other in the face and see who can run the football better.
That's tough.
No one's going to want to throw the football in that game.
You either have to start Lamar against a team that owns him, you have to start Stroud on the road in Arrowhead in primetime against Steve Spagnuolo, or you have to start Herbert against the Eagles defense, which to the Eagles' credit is really good, and he's hurt, and it's Harbaugh, and they don't throw. I don't know. Cam, rap back to me again before the end of the program, and maybe I'll have a better answer. I'd probably go Herbert, but I don't know, man. I wouldn't go Lamar because the ankle injury would make you think that he's not going to be running the ball a lot, which is going to take away some of your rushing points, and he's never been able to throw it against the Steelers. I don't know, man. Let's get Delvin in here. That's a tough one. That's a tough
Delvin,
one.
Delvin, do you have any answers for this fantasy football quarterback situation?
Yeah, Delvin, we're in a pickle. We're in a pickle here, but I hope you've had a good week, brother. Appreciate you checking in.
I don't got nothing to tell you guys. My fantasy team is not doing so well either, so I can't get no credit with it. But you're talking about Herbert. He had surgery on the hand, guys, so he's going to be playing this week. It's crazy he had surgery on the hand, so it's going to be crazy what he can do.
Yeah, they're going to have to protect him. And, like, if there's anything I know about the NFL, the Eagles are going to be swiping at that hand. That's just the reality of the situation. Like, you're going to be targeting that hand on sacks. You're going to be trying to hit him.
Especially if he scrambles and, you know, they're going to go for the tackle. You might hit the hand and would have got well, he got the ball in. So he can come out and cause a fumble. But, guys, which is more likely this weekend? The Steelers winning or Penn State having a coach by Monday when I call in and talk to you guys?
The Steelers winning. The Steelers winning for sure. I've seen there's some Matt Campbell smoke, but then people are refuting that report.
No,
I don't even know what's going on.
You know what's going to happen, right? Just like the Cookie Man come in, they're going to have the John Deere Classic Man come in and pay the money to buy pay his contract. That was going to happen.
I don't think Matt Campbell's going to leave Iowa State. With the way that he's spoken about that with the media the last couple of years, I think that this is just some flirting that's going on between the two. I don't know if there's legitimacy to that. What are your thoughts, Sean?
It would be a very good hire if they could pull it off, but right now I don't have a lot of faith in Pat Kraft being able to make a hire. I mean, someone will eventually coach this team.
I think it's going to be Terry Smith.
As every minute that passes, Delvin, I am starting to agree with you. They clearly don't want to give it to Terry Smith. They are trying to find anybody else to take this job, which I kind of hate how they're treating Terry Smith that way.
The players. Like you heard the players say, if Terry Smith's not the coach, they leave him. They put an administration in Biden. Guys, it looked like some Billy is bad, too. What do you think about Bill Napier being head coach at JMU?
Good hire. He's going to kill
it. Is that
it
official?
There. Yeah.
Has that been made official? I haven't seen it from, like, JMU circles. So I've seen that he's, like, they're zeroing in on, and, you know, he's the leading target, but I haven't seen,
the
like,
sources,
official.
They're saying the sources say they expect to hire Billy Napier, so...
Yeah, Nakos came through with it yesterday and said that they're like, again, it hasn't been like officially reported by JMU the last that I've seen, but On3 ran an article this morning saying that they're finalizing the deal according to Nakos and Lowe. So it appears they're in the final stages there.
Yeah, I didn't mean to cut you out, John. What you were saying about Terry Smith, the players backing them up and stuff like that? You about to
I think it's great that the players have this back, but right now in a day and age with the transfer portal. Like I understood years ago when West Virginia had to give the job to Bill Stewart, right? When everybody rallied around him and they made it almost impossible to move on from him. Now with the portal and with so much movement, I don't think Terry Smith won enough. And that would be my biggest issue is how hapless they looked for the first couple weeks of him having that job.
Yeah,
I like Terry Smith. I have nothing against the guy, and I don't like the way that he's being treated right now. But with the transfer portal, I would not be as prone to go with the interim, and the players were rallying behind it as I would have been even a couple years ago, like when Notre Dame removed the interim tag on Marcus Freeman.
Yeah. Well, on a scale of 1 through 10, How shocked would you be if Mike Campbell is the head coach of Penn State Monday?
8.5. That would be shocking to me. I don't think he's going to leave Ames.
I'm like a 3. That would not surprise me in the slightest if he ends up being the Penn State head coach.
Why you say that, Judge? That won't surprise you? Because it'll surprise me. It won't surprise you.
I think it's more of the – I've been kind of in – I'm honestly shocked he's still there, quite frankly. I think Penn State's the type of job that you leave Iowa State for. Even if you are like the greatest coach in Iowa State history, I still think this is the type of money and opportunity and the ability to be in a Big Two conference. Like, I would see all the reasons why you would do it. But that being said, I'm also kind of rooting for him to stay at Iowa State so we don't just get everybody trying to rush into the two power conferences.
Yeah.
I'm torn.
Yeah, appreciate you checking in, Delvin. And to be honest, the way that things are trending, if it's not Campbell, they might end up just having to hire Terry Smith because nobody's going to take the job.
Well, I think we need to remember that this is conference championship Saturday, that there is a little bit, maybe some of these, if they're going for like a coordinator or somebody like that, it's going to take a little bit of time. So, but I do think that there's a little bit of an interesting, it's kind of surprising they haven't got anybody, but I do think they have a better chance of having a coach by Monday.
Yeah, that is for sure. All right, quick break here on the program. We'll shift gears to conference championship mode, start talking about some of these games. I'll tell you where our Roar staff is aligned for our Pick'em contest in our final week of the Pick'em, which I know everybody's excited for. 654 Roar if you want to get in on college football and conference championship weekend right after this.
For an outstanding 11 years running, Diamonds and Gold Direct has been named Anderson's Best Jewelry Store. From a vast selection of engagement rings to their designer collection, Diamonds and Gold Direct has earned their place as Anderson's Best. So stop in and see what makes Diamonds and Gold Direct your favorite jeweler. Diamonds and Gold Direct, Anderson's Best Jewelry Store, 11 years in a row, Main Street, across from the mall.
Diamonds and Gold Direct, we're your diamond source.
Upstate Cycle in Greenville is celebrating 46 years in business. Come check out our kids' ATVs and dirt bikes. We also have bikes for riders who are still kids at heart, ranging from entry level all the way to off-road racing, dual sport, and adventure riding. We carry brands like Beta, Cove, SSR, and many more. Delivery is available, and don't forget to ask about layaway plan. Mention the Roar FM to receive $50 off our best price. Call 864-232-7223 for more info today.
Your parking lot is the very first thing people see when they visit your business. Is yours making the right impression? Upstate Stripes is here to help. Family owned and operated, we're rooted right here in the Upstate. Specialize in parking lot striping, restriping, handicap spaces, and custom symbols. A sharp, freshly painted lot improves safety, boosts curb appeal, and makes your business stand out. Call 864-376-6698 or request a quote today at upstatestripes.com.
Royal Flush Toilet Rentals. If you want to potty like a rock star, you can with us. At Royal Flush Toilet Rentals, we offer construction porta potty rentals, septic tank pumping, and luxury toilet trailers. Call 864-238-8800. We have 2-stall, 3-stall, and 4-stall trailers for your corporate events, wedding parties, and special occasions. Call 864-238-8800. Royal Flush Toilet Rentals.
Craft Stove Store and Patio is here to help your home stay warm and cozy until spring with over 20 burning displays of vented and vent-free gas logs. Vent-free logs will heat for just pennies an hour and even keep you warm and cozy in the event of a power failure. Craft Stove Store and Patio even features the Radiant Heating vented gas logs that have a real fire look and radiant heat. Visit Craft Stove Store and Patio located on 3002 Wade Hampton Boulevard, Taylors.
Craft Stove Store and Patio.
This is Leighton Cubbage from Lakeside Lodge, Lakeside Lodge Clemson. Across Lake Hartwell from Death Valley, Lakeside Lodge has every amenity you could want, including Traditions on the Lake restaurant, a pool, hot tub, and fire pit. Stay with us for the weekend or buy your own condo to enjoy anytime and earn income using our managed rental program. Visit ownership.lakesidelodgeclemson.com to start your new game day tradition and go Tigers.
Honor your graduates' achievements with a keepsake that truly stands out. Collegiate Legacy Designs offers handcrafted and hand-finished, fully licensed ring plaques for Clemson University and the Citadel, made by proud Clemson alum Greg Terry and his wife, Julie. With unanimous five-star reviews and lots of repeat customers, these plaques make the perfect gift for Christmas, recent graduates, or upcoming graduates. Get your order in today at CollegiateLegacyDesigns.com. That's CollegiateLegacyDesigns.com.
You have a nice Thanksgiving?
I did, but I don't feel like myself.
What have you been eating?
I had turkey at my in-laws, turkey at my parents, had a turkey casserole this morning.
It's a clear-cut case of turkey-itis. I'm going to write a prescription right now for a double chili cheese aplenty from the world-famous Beacon Drive-In.
Next patient.
The Beacon Drive-In, where the food is always good since 1946.
Are you in the market for an auto loan? Move now. Get an auto loan from Founders Federal Credit Union by December 31st for the chance to win up to $25,000 towards your qualifying loan and a $5,000 deposit into your Loyalty Select account. And the best part, they'll be choosing monthly winners. So the earlier you get an auto loan, the more chances you have to win. Visit foundersfcu.com/auto to learn more. Terms and conditions apply. Membership qualification required.
Actual price will depend on product and subscription plan. Featured products or compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. See website for details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Want a boost in and out of the bedroom? Hims has you covered. Introducing a new 2-in-1 approach to level up your game. Tadalafil for better bedroom performance and zinc for testosterone support. Put it all together and you've got what you need to turn things all the way up. Getting started is simple. Just go to hims.com/joy to start your free online visit. Through Hims, you can access ED treatments, including pills, chews, and more, 100% online. No office visits, no pharmacy lines. Just fill out a simple intake form, and a licensed medical provider will determine if treatment's right for you. If prescribed, it ships free and discreetly to your door. Find affordable treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy, hims.com/joy.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Your home for the Upstate's best sports talk radio 24 hours a day.
You guys are the best station in town.
You got the best radio station going.
You guys are the best, man.
We are The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Welcome back in. Hour two of Facts on Sports continues. Before we get back into the NFL slate and we start talking some college football and these conference championship games this weekend, I want to tell you where you can go get your holiday shopping started. That's Four Men on Exchange in downtown Pendleton at 102 Exchange Street. The shop right there next to Nutique Boutique, Dan and Robert Kraft, Robert's two sons, they make the Four Men right there on Exchange. It is the new shop in downtown Pendleton for gifts, garments, and gear for everything you need for the man in your life. You can get it right there at Four Men on Exchange. Custom leather-made goods made locally right in Pendleton. Tons of exclusive Clemson apparel, Clemson merch, some really cool shirts and hats that you can't find anywhere else here in the upstate. A lot of the Clemson sock shop has moved into the Four Men on Exchange there. So all the great socks that you're used to getting over there at the Clemson sock shop, you can find at Four Men on Exchange. It is a little bit congested right now over there at the storefront. It's a little tight because they're currently renovating a 20,000 square foot space that is going to be open in the spring. But go by and see Robert and Dan at 102 Exchange Street. Go by and get you some gifts, garments, and gear for the man in your life this holiday season. And you can follow them on Facebook or on Instagram as well for updates.
Thank you for that, John. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. Phone lines and Adams Co-Roofing text line remain open. Texter says, the Roar, only place I can hear Rage Against the Machine and Best Sports Talk. Love it. There you go, man. There you go. We got you taken care of. David from Williamson gets in and says, Delvin with great fan questions. Any news about Garrett Riley to North Texas? He will not be at North Texas because they have hired a head coach.
Neil Brown, the former Troy and West Virginia head coach, is now the head coach at North Texas.
Yeah, we'll keep you in the loop if there's any steam. Obviously, Garrett Riley has been thrown in a lot of different conversations in the last couple of weeks from a speculatory standpoint. Could he be a head coach somewhere? Could he be an offensive coordinator somewhere? Fair questions to ask right now. No denying that. We just don't have any official information as of right now on the whole Garrett Riley chronicles, if you will. But we'll keep you in the loop with what we're hearing, and we'll keep you in the loop with what's official.
We did just have we're starting to see across the country some changes being made in the ACC. We have two new defensive coordinators that have or defensive coaches that have been dismissed this morning. Boston College dismissed defensive coordinator Tim Lewis, not a surprise after a 2-10 season. And just a couple minutes ago, Florida State has dismissed defensive backs coach Patrick Surtain Sr.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So Mike Norvell is starting to make some changes there on that staff.
Texter said, how do you feel about Napier at JMU? Think he's going to kill it?
I think it's a really good landing spot for him.
Yeah.
I'm a fan when this thing becomes official. I think it makes a lot of sense. That's one of the better jobs in the Sun Belt. And hey, Sun Belt Billy is back.
It's Sun Belt Billy. He's right at home. He's right at home, man. That's exactly where he needs to be, and that is for certain. Texter says, I need help on my fantasy. Browns defense versus the Titans, or non-combo. Non-combo 3-4-5. Browns defense versus the Titans.
I don't know, man. That Seahawks defense against the Falcons, though, you get to try to get something profitable out of the Falcons offense?
It is pretty good.
I could be persuaded into that.
Browns defense at home against Tennessee, though, I would go Browns. I would go Browns for sure. Browns have the best defense in the league this year, and they're going to waste it on a horrible quarterback room that has featured a third-round pick, a fifth-round pick, Joe Flacco, who they traded in their own division. Wow, what a mess. I think Stefanski's going to get himself fired this year. It's going to be interesting to see if they try and play Watson. There's a lot going on in Cleveland. There's a lot going on in Cleveland, as always. All right, let's shift gears to some college football. Let's run through our pick 'em contest real quick here to tell you guys how the rest of the staff at the Roar is stacking up. We start tonight in conference championship land with the Sun Belt Championship between Troy and James Madison. The line we're playing in the contest is 22.5. We're split 6-6 right down the middle. Does that surprise you with Troy and JMU, or is that kind of how you expected things to stack up amongst the contest?
That's how I'm not all that surprised. Really quick before we jump back into this, breaking news in the NFL, Lions safety Brian Branch tore his Achilles last night.
Yeah. Shoot, man. He's one of the best players in the league.
Yeah.
Too.
He is one of the best safeties in football. Kind of the thing that makes that whole defense work.
That's the biggest setback of the season so far for the Lions. That sucks. That's unfortunate.
But hey, they beat the Cowboys, so that's really all that matters.
That is really all that matters. 6-6 split in our contest between Troy and JMU. Four people in the morning crew took JMU. We're on the island in the morning crew taking Troy. And then Walt, Ramona, Sam, and Quawk took Troy in the afternoon with Ben and, it looks like, Ramona on JMU. This is a lot of points. We gave our breakdown of these yesterday, so we're going to breeze pretty quick through these. But I do want to give like a excitement level / watchability factor watch for these. What's your interest level tonight, scale of 1 to 10 in Troy JMU in comparison to the other three games on the slate?
It's not as high due to the spread, just because of, I mean, what, 22.5, right? That's just a ton of points. Can JMU get it done? I have some interest. You know, Harrisonburg it's a cool little college town right there on the interstate. If you've ever seen that stadium, it's surprisingly impressive. Like, all of a sudden, you're driving down the highway, and boom, there's a 55,000-seat Sunbelt Stadium right there on the side of the road. It kind of jumps out of nowhere at you. Like, the environment's going to be really cool to watch as the first game on. Yeah, we'll watch that for a little while, but I expect that to make its way to a much smaller screen at 8 o'clock when North Texas and Tulane kick off.
Agree.
And a good appetizer, a good table setter for the evening.
Yeah, it's like a two-pack of appetizers between that and the Conference USA Championship game, where we've got Kennesaw State as a 1.5-point underdog. Kennesaw State with 8 people in the contest and 4 people on Jacksonville State. The 4 on Jack State, Mickey, Mike Vaughn, Ben, and Nick Roby. And again, these are going to be two that I'm split screening, and then when the North Texas game comes on, it's like, oh, okay, that was cute. See you guys. Or maybe go quad box.
If the game's entertaining, hey, this is your last opportunity to quad box for the year if you're a YouTube TV person. But unless we have one afternoon where we have 4 bowl games on at the same time, I think this is it for you. I think this one's going to hold my attention much more than Troy and JMU will. especially with it being a, you know, I think it's going to be a much closer line. This Kennesaw State story has been a ton of fun. We talked about them a good bit this week. Yeah, I like Kennesaw State here. I think this is going to be a very close and competitive back-and-forth game, and it's pretty crazy that a couple years up after they were atrocious last year. Do you remember how we celebrated their first win of the year against Liberty in the midweek last year when they were 0-6?
Yeah.
Now look at them.
Man.
It's a great story for this little suburban Atlanta commuter school, but it's awesome. Like, I'm here for it. I think it's a great story. I'm going to be pulling for them. I think my attention will be held here much longer than Troy and JMU.
Yeah, same here. I think it's going to be a more competitive football game, and this is probably the better of the appetizer options between the two. But the big dog matchup of tonight, with massive college football playoff implications and a really, really good quarterback that's likely going to be playing Power 4 football next year.
At Oklahoma State.
Likely at Oklahoma State. Mestemaker and North Texas at 11-1, taking on 10-2 Tulane. The coaches have fled the scene, but they're still coaching in the game. Take some nose lane. And this is a big one at Yulman Stadium in New Orleans. We're playing North Texas minus the 2.5 in the contest. 8 of us are on North Texas. Team out of bounds being Quawk and Ben. Walt and Mike Vaughn are the only ones on Tulane. I feel pretty confident that North Texas can get the job done in this one, John. I feel really good about their chances.
I feel very good about their chances. I think this offense is going to light it up down in New Orleans tonight. I love Mestemaker and this North Texas offense as they're kind of their swan song, if you will. Although if they make it in the playoff, they win this. You know, they obviously have more games to play there in Denton. Yeah, I just think in a quarterback duel, I'm going to take Mestemaker over Retzlaff. I think Retzlaff is very good, but I think that they're more of a run the ball, want to control the clock, do all this stuff. North Texas just wants to go.
Yeah.
They want to score. Yeah, give me North Texas. Give me North Texas. I also think it may help them from a prep standpoint that their coach did the job-confirming thing earlier in the week than Summerall did it on Sunday.
North Texas has scored 50-plus points in 5 of their last 6 games down the stretch this season. They lead the country, as you alluded to yesterday, in a lot of offensive categories. Their season low is 31. Their season low is 31.
And their only loss to South Florida, they scored 36 in a loss.
Yes. Like, this offense is genuinely unbelievable. Genuinely unbelievable. I'm really excited to watch this team play tonight. They're electric. They've been on my television all year because of Mestemaker being one of the best quarterbacks in college football. And then, again, they play just complete Chad Morris, Red Bull X10. Like, they're on 15 different Red Bulls, it feels like, when they're rushing up to the line of scrimmage, waiting to get the ball, and Mestemaker's just snapping it and going, and they're chucking it all over the lot. It is cinematic to watch this North Texas team play, and I really hope this isn't the one game of the season they fall flat on their face with how much we're hyping them, but I'm really excited to watch this game nonetheless. And then you have to imagine, John, the winner of this is going to punch their ticket to the college football playoff as that primary group of 5 representative.
Absolutely. This will be the 11th seed in the playoff.
Yep. So whoever gets this will be playing against the 6 seed, more than likely. It'll be interesting to see how things transpire tonight. ABC, 8 p.m. I think that's the game of the night, and that's where you guys need to be watching. But on Fox, we got another good game. Boise State's up to a 5.5-point favorite. We're actually getting some good closing line value there. The 2 in the contest on UNLV are Will and Mickey. The remaining 10 are on Boise State. We talked about this one extensively yesterday. It's the weather. It's the physicality. It's the stage of the moment. And it's the fact that Boise State, for me, I'll wrap back to, has been here before and won this game before. UNLV was overwhelmed by this moment last year against Boise State. I just think that there's a certain comfortability for Boise State playing in this moment and playing in this game. And also, the weather is going to advantage their play style with ground and pound and trying to assert their physical dominance. I could see them running away with this one in a similar fashion to what they did last year. I think Boise State wins by like 14 plus, to be honest with you.
I don't know if it gets to that big of a route. I'm with Boise with you as well. I do think the weather is going to be a factor. We talked about it yesterday a good bit with the rain and the wind and the cold, that UNLV having to go outdoors is not going to be great for them. You know, Maddox Mattson is back for this Boise State passing attack. I think it'll help to have your starting quarterback back. I think this has a chance to get a little pointsy here, but I do think Boise State takes care of business at home.
For sure. All right, before we take a quick break, get into the rest of our games, we had like 3 or 4 texts get in. Furman's playing in the Elite 8 tonight in men's soccer. Big deal, 10 p.m. They're playing against the Portland Pilots. It's the first time that Portland has ever hosted a quarterfinal in the College Cup. And obviously, you guys know I've done all the Furman men's broadcasts for soccer for like the last 5 years of my life. Love the opportunity for Doug Allison. 31-year tenured head coach. This is the final year of his career, John. He's retiring after this year and announced that before the season. The guys have like carried him in this storybook fairy tale type of run in the tournament. They made their first Elite Eight since 1999, have the Furman men's team. So that's at 10 p.m. tonight, and that's exactly what I'll be watching as well. I'll have that up on the laptop with the North Texas game up on the TV, and then I'll watch the second half of this Furman game on the TV when the North Texas game has come to a conclusion. But if you want to support local, if you're a soccer guy, like I know we've got a couple listeners that are, and I'm a big soccer guy, watch the Furman men's team play tonight. The team's absolutely unbelievable. Multiple pros on the team, and they've got a chance to punch their ticket to the Final Four, which could be absolutely electric. So I'll be rooting on the Dens tonight, and you guys know that. And hopefully Furman and Doug Allison can get the job done. Wish I was able to get out there to Portland. Just not super realistic with my schedule, but should be a fun one tonight for the Furman Paladins. So big shout out to Doug, and big shout out to the boys. Safe travels out to Portland, and excited for tonight's matchup in the Elite Eight of the College Cup. 654 Roar is the number if you want to check in. We'll run through the rest of our Pick'em contest, give some more conference championship previews on the other side, talk some hoops as well before we get out of here. Keep getting in with us at 654 Roar.
Get ready for the City of Malden's Christmas Parade, Saturday, December 6th at 2, brought to you by the Malden Chamber of Commerce. Rolling from Golden Strip Career Center down Holland Road to Bridgeway Station. Presented by the Roar FM. Details at maldenchamber.org.
Is your crawl space damp or musty? Water in your crawl space can cause wood to rot and creates an environment for mold and mildew that can make its way inside your home. Canty Foundation Specialist specializes in crawl space repair. Call us today for your free inspection so you can have the peace of mind knowing your crawl space is dry and your home is protected. Call today, 864-641-0176, or visit cantycanfixit.com.
Mourning the loss of a loved one can be painful. If your loved one dies due to the negligence of someone else, you need someone by your side to help get you justice. Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, will help you navigate a wrongful death lawsuit. Nick and his staff are here to help you through every step of the legal process. Call today for your free consultation at 864-654-3680 or visit nicklaverylaw.com.
As the weather gets colder and sports now moves to games on hardwood floors, gridirons, and more.
At Straight Up Sports, we will keep the full court press on.
With weekly series from legendary writers Bob Gillespie and Scott Kiefer.
Plus input from Mark Sturgis and more.
You'll get that story written like days gone by.
There's also new links and videos added to the site every week as well.
You can catch this all-star lineup at Straight Up Sports on Facebook or online at straightupsports.net.
When friends and family are coming over to your place for the next big game, everything has to be right. So when your comfort and reputation are on the line, don't leave it to chance. Bring in the experts in the bold, white, and blue trucks. Visit acehomeco.com for all your plumbing, HVAC, and electrical needs.
Premier Portable Buildings and Trailers are right in your backyard. Looking to gain space in your home, a shed is a great way to make room. And if you need to transport your gear, we have a trailer to meet your needs. With two locations to serve you, Sheds of Spartanburg and Sheds of Welford. Visit shedsofspartanburg.com or shedsofwelford.com, where you can view our entire inventory of sheds and trailers. Call today, 864-652-1660, or visit 1470 Boiling Springs Road, Spartanburg, or 321 Spartanburg Highway, Welford today.
It's game on at Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram at Lake Kiwi Ford, and my team's ready to serve you. If it's selection you want, we got you covered with over 500 vehicles available. And we're tackling high prices with huge discounts, like saving up to $15,000 off a new F-150 or a Ram 1500. Plus, Lake Kiwi is blocking high interest rates with attractive financing. So make the winning drive, Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram or Lake Kiwi Ford, or you can shop us all online at LakeKiwiAutoGroup.com. That's LakeKiwiAutoGroup.com.
See dealer for details.
Did you hear that? It's game on at Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Lake Kiwi Ford, where Mark's team is ready to serve you. If it's selection you want, they've got you covered with over 500 vehicles ready for delivery. And Lake Kiwi's tackling high prices with new trucks discounted up to $15,000. Yes, you can save up to $15,000 on a new truck at Lake Kiwi, and they've got a bunch of them to choose from. So make the winning drive to Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Lake Kiwi Ford. They're between Clemson and Seneca, and always open at LakeKiwiAutoGroup.com. See dealer for details.
Gilstrap Roofing's experienced team specializes in shingle and flat roofs for residential, commercial, and industrial customers. Their dedication to complete customer satisfaction is why a large portion of their business comes from repeat customers and referrals. If you need a full-service roofing contractor that has over 88 years of experience and takes pride in top customer satisfaction, Gilstrap Roofing has got you covered. Call for your free roofing estimate today at 269-1232 and online at gilstrapproofing.com.
Tired of all the fake news in the sports world?
He read an article.
I read it too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don't believe everything you hear on the radio.
That's where we come in, to give you the truth in sports. We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
Final segment of hour number two here on a Friday with Faxon and John on 105.5 97.5 The Roar. 654 Roar is the number if you'd like to check in. We'd appreciate you joining the program and contributing here on a Friday morning. All right, let's get back into our pick'em contest. But first, let me tell you about Morgan Coleman and Morgan Coleman Real Estate. We're into the winter market, and Clemson football is coming to a conclusion, but the real estate market is probably just starting to heat up here in the wintertime, even though the weather is cold outside. Morgan Coleman's still going to be cheering on the Tigers into bowl season, celebrating big real estate wins here in the winter market as well. Sellers' homes are prepped to list. Buyers are ready to purchase here in the winter. Clemson women's soccer alumna Morgan Coleman is ready to assist your buying or selling needs and, of course, talk some Clemson football with you as well. You can get in contact with her by searching Morgan Coleman Real Estate on Google. I'm sure she's got opinions on the portal. Morgan's very smart, very well-educated with all of her Clemson athletics knowledge, and thankfully, she's very well-educated with all of her knowledge in the upstate of the South Carolina as well. Has done a really good job throughout the course of her real estate career here in the upstate. Go with an expert. Go local. Go with Morgan Coleman. Search Morgan Coleman Real Estate on Google. All right, John, back into the action in our pick'em contest. BYU and Texas Tech. I'm a little surprised to see that Texas Tech is getting nine of our selections here in the Roar Pick'em contest. Three on BYU, which are Walt Deptula, Mickey, who has been against the grain a lot this week, and Nick Roby. Everybody else is on TTU minus the 13.5. I think Satake deserves a lot of credit for the job he's done at BYU back-to-back years, but we talked about this pretty extensively yesterday. I'm expecting this to be a lines of scrimmage mashing, and Texas Tech rolls big.
Yeah, I don't know about how big, because I also think Texas Tech could, you know, get to a comfortable lead and just kind of sit on this thing. But no, I think Texas Tech, that front seven of that defense, Rodriguez, Bailey, like there's just too many dudes, too many guys up front. Yeah, give me Texas Tech. Although I think that Bear Bachmeier is probably the better quarterback in this game. Give me the team with the much better, tougher lines of scrimmage.
I agree with that on the Bachmeier front for sure. Miami of Ohio versus Western Michigan. Seven of us picked Western Michigan. The five on Miami of Ohio. Team out of bounds with Kwok and Ben. It looks like Walt and then Will and Morgan Thomas have also picked. I almost said Morgan Coleman. Morgan Thomas have picked the Red Hawks in this one. I don't know. I don't want to say I don't care. I don't want to disrespect the MAC, but this is the one of the weekend that has the least amount of intrigue to me.
I think that's fair. I think that is fair. I went with Western here just mainly because the quarterback who scored all the touchdowns for Miami the last time these teams played when Miami won the football game is off preparing for the NFL draft.
Yeah.
So, but then again, would not be surprised if Miami, Ohio wins this thing because that's all Chuck Martin does is win football games. So, I think it's going to be a good football game. I think this will actually be worth your watch when Texas Tech is just beating BYU over the head with a 2x4 for the second half of that football game.
Yeah, it's likely what's going to be what transpires. And speaking, getting beat over the head with a 2x4, that has been Kirby Smart taking the beating from Alabama throughout the course of his career. I'm on the dogs. I do have some trepidation because of the series history. And you and Morgan Thomas are on the island in our contest. It's 10-2 dogs.
I was floored when I saw that. I would have thought it would have been a, you know, right down the middle, maybe a little bit, you know, 8-4. But 10-2 in favor of the dogs? What is going on around here? I think the big key for me in this game is going to be the absence of Drew Bobo up front. I thought Georgia's offensive line looked like it took a big step back last week against Georgia Tech when he went out in that game. There's a chance he doesn't return again this season. I think that's going to be an issue for Georgia. The running game hasn't been, you know, certainly the best that it's ever been. I do like Gunnar Stockton. I like the playmakers of Georgia. There's a lot of things about the dogs that I like. And depending on how the seeding goes, I think Georgia could be playing late into January. But in this game, in this spot, Alabama's back is against the wall. I think that there's a little bit of a mental hurdle for Kirby to overcome with getting past the Crimson Tide and not having your starting center in a game like this, which is going to be, you know, a lot of field position and punt, and we're going to run the football. We're going to try to, you know, real SEC meat grinder this thing. Not having your center and the guy that makes the calls and the checks up front, I think, could be an issue for Georgia. Give me Alabama.
Yeah, that is listen, Bama's a really good football team. They've proven that throughout the course of the season. I
want to hear from Georgia fans. I want to hear from Skip. I want to hear from Georgia Greg. You know, I want you guys to get in 654 Roar. I want, because, you know, the more I've thought about it this week, I actually did give Georgia a good bit of thought. Like, all jokes aside, gave Georgia quite a bit of thought, but not having your center up front, who's also the son of your offensive coordinator, right? Like, I mean, the guy knows the ins and outs of this offense about as well as anybody. Like, that's a big loss to have. I know he's not the most talented guy on the football team. Like, he's not your 6'9", 5-star that there's, you know, 30 of them there.
Yeah.
But this guy knows what to do, how to get everybody in the right spot. I think this is just a big deal for Georgia.
I do think it's a big deal for Georgia as well. And I texted you a little bit earlier during, like, the Texas Tech game. I've got a lot of Georgia friends. It goes without saying, I grew up in Metro Atlanta. Like, everybody I know is a Dogs fan for the most part. They were actively rooting to not play in this game after what happened last year to Carson Beck getting injured and a couple other key injuries that Georgia suffered in the SEC championship game. And I say that not to devalue or discredit the game, because I still think conference championship games matter. But with that being said, that shows the state of college football right now. You have Georgia fans that were actively rooting to not play in this game. Whether that makes them a good Georgia fan or a bad Georgia fan, a good dog or a bad dog, you could say at home, that's up for you guys to interpret. But all of my friends were rooting for Georgia to not play in this game because they would have preferred the week of rest, they would have preferred the week of not having to risk any injury, and they didn't want to have to burn an elite game plan to win an SEC championship. For me, I don't know. I still think winning the SEC championship matters a lot, especially you're playing in the bins in front of a what could be a home crowd in the state of Georgia.
To me,
that's a big game. It's Alabama, man.
To me, anyone who's saying that winning a conference title doesn't matter anymore, I think you got your priorities out of whack. Until we remove these games,
I agree.
These things still matter. Winning your league matters. I don't care how Clemson did it last year. That was awesome. I don't care if you backdoor your way into it and you have to hit a field goal from the next county over. It doesn't matter. You won the league. That means something. And the bigger and more bloated these leagues get, until we find a way to kind of reconfigure a lot of the sport, these games still matter. These games are still important. And I hate that mentality of, well, if we just don't play in it, that's weak. No, you should want to go compete, want to go see your team on the biggest stage. I mean, injuries happen. It's football.
Agree. Texter says it matters until you lose your starting QB in a championship game. Like, I get it.
Yeah, but everybody told me all year that Gunnar Stockton was better than Carson Beck. And he is better than Carson Beck.
He is.
Like, no, Georgia, you didn't lose because of Carson Beck going out in the SEC title game. You lost to Notre Dame because Kirby Smart got outcoached by Marcus Freeman.
Because Kirby got cute at the end of the first half and tried to push the ball down the field, and then Dylan Bell has less hand-eye coordination.
Right,
and
then you have the fake punt that Notre Dame did that sent Kirby into... It's not because of the injury to Carson Beck in the SEC championship game while you lost that game.
I agree.
No, I think it's a convenient argument. I think it's a convenient crutch, but I don't think that's the sole reason why you lost that game.
Let's get Skip and Georgie in here. Skip, I tend to think a lot of my friends are being bad dogs by saying they didn't want to play in this game. What are your thoughts on the conference championship game, Georgia's hopes, and did you want to play in the game as a Georgia fan? You can be honest. We won't judge you too hard.
Absolutely, I wanted to play in it. Not wanting to play in it is soft.
Agree.
It means something. I mean, if Georgia can win on Saturday, it would be the first time they have repeated as SEC champions since 1982. That's a big deal.
That matters.
It's Herschel era, and there's a lot of kids on this team. I mean, don't you think that Zachariah Branch and Noah Thomas want to win a conference championship? Their old teams, Southern Cal, A&M, don't you think they wish they were playing this weekend?
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
You don't think the Georgia boy of all Georgia boys, Gunnar Stockton, doesn't want to have this in the trophy case and on his resume that he led Georgia to an SEC title? You better believe he does.
Absolutely. I mean, he wants to be the guy that came in and, you know, he got a lot of play last year in Atlanta when Beck went out. And I think that he was the main reason they were able to hold on and beat Texas. But he wants to say, I came in and won a conference championship as the starting quarterback for the season and it be against Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's Georgia, Alabama, and Atlanta in the SEC championship game. If you can't get up for this game and you can't, you know, find excitement and joy as a Georgia fan, you're being a bad Georgia fan. Like, truly, I was pushing back against my friends, and I'm like, guys, you know what I would kill to be playing for Clemson in a conference championship game this year? And they're all like, oh, but like the injury cause, soft, S-O-F-T, soft. That is soft, soft, soft. If you are worried about getting injured and you go out there worried about playing injured, you're going to get injured. That's how that concept works. You can't go in there scared and you can't go in there soft, Skip. And that's not a way to live your life or play football, in my opinion. So I'm glad we're aligned on this.
Yeah, I mean, Kirby said that earlier in the week. He said if you run from hard, you're going to find more hard. And, you know, they're going to get hurt in practice this week. And I think that's happened to a couple of players that are now listed as questionable. But it's football. You sign up for that. It's a physical game.
Yeah, it's exactly what you sign up for. And Skip, I knew we would be aligned here. Are you going to the game on Saturday? What are your plans? And what's your level of excitement / confidence for your dogs? Because I tend to think you guys are going to get the job done, but there is something to be said about the whole Kirby versus Alabama thing.
I'm not going. I turned down the tickets. I have never seen Georgia beat Alabama in person, so I'm doing this for the fan base. I didn't go to Indy in 21. And they won, but I've watched Georgia lose to Alabama in 08, 12, 15, 17 in the national title, 21 in the SEC, 23 in the SEC, and then in Athens this year. So
you're the curse.
I'm doing this for the fan base. You're welcome.
If we're going to get # thank you, Skip, trending if Georgia wins this upcoming Saturday. Thanks for doing your part for Georgia faithful, Skip, I guess.
Yeah, you got to do all you can. I'm not superstitious, but I'm a little stitious. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Well, Skip, thanks for getting in. I knew we'd be aligned on this. Best of luck to your dogs. I'll be pulling for them this upcoming weekend for my pick 'em contest. And I also just hope that Kirby can kind of shed that narrative because, again, if the freshman kid whose name is slipping my mind right now does not drop the perfect ball in the breadbasket in the third quarter of the game in Athens, I think we're having a different conversation about who's playing Georgia in the SEC championship game on Saturday.
That was Talon Taylor, number 11.
Yes.
Who seemed that 11 is cursed after Arian Smith had all those drops in the Sugar Bowl. I think Mike Bobo is thrilled that Overton is out this game, so we're probably going to see a heavy dose of Cash Jones on second, third, and fourth down.
That's the worst. That's the worst. What are your thoughts on that before we let you go, Skip, as a Georgia fan? Are you as frustrated seeing him trot out onto the field every time as I am?
Not particularly in the certain package. I didn't like that play call in the first meeting with Alabama on fourth down when you've got – I love Cash Jones. He catches the ball really well. He's a great blocker. He knows the scheme. But when you need 1 yard against Alabama and you've got Josh McCray and you've got Chauncey Bowens and you've got Nate Frazier and you've got Dwight Phillips,
yeah,
let's not trot out, all respect to White Lightning Cash Jones, let's not trot out the walk-on from Texas.
Yeah, I think that's kind of exactly where I'm at, too. Situationally, it makes sense at times. Game on the line against Alabama on fourth down. Probably need to be going with a scholarship back in that situation. Skip, best of luck this upcoming Saturday, and pull your dogs through, man, from home or wherever you're watching.
I'm going to do my best. Thanks for getting me in, guys. Y'all have a great day.
Appreciate you, Skip. Thank you. 654 Roar is the number. Somebody texted in, Skip is my favorite Georgia fan. Skip is very rational. Skip is very rational. We got a good contingent of dog fans that listen. All right, Texter 236 is pushing back, and I will say that there is some legitimacy to this point that has to be acknowledged. If everyone was playing a game this week, it would be different, but the fact that some playoff contenders have to play in a conference championship game and others get to sit by and rest up and get healthy is the issue. It's not being soft. It's being smart. I get it, and I get that Notre Dame has the sweet deal in this scenario, and I'm also envious of it. But I also still do think there's an immense amount of value in winning your conference championship, especially over a rival like Alabama and Georgia's scenario.
That's what the money's for. That's what being paid to go to play in the playoffs is for. Like I understand the argument, but I just respectfully don't agree with it. I think conference titles mean something. I think being the winner of your league means something. I kind of hate the mentality we are taking in this sport that it's all about the national championship and nothing else is important. I genuinely just disagree with that sentiment. So I understand the opinion. I don't think that it's necessarily wrong, but for me, I'm just not there. Like, the conference title still matters.
Yeah, I agree. Texter gets in and says, conference championships mean a ton to players. I have an ACC championship ring as a coach. Hey, congratulations. And every time I look at that ring, it brings back the memories of that team. Not just the wins, but the relationships. Winning a championship is a lifelong bond that can never be underestimated. I love the way that the Texter gets in and frames that, John, because I think that's the truth. Like, it's a core memory for the players, for the coaches, for the support staff, for the ops guys, everybody associated with the program. They can take pride and look back on that and say, hey, we accomplished that together. Final hour of the program up next.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpen.